today, Australia's broken recycling system. So for a long time, we've relied on sending a bunch of our recycling overseas, with 4.5 million tonnes going to Asia each year. But now, that's changing. Countries like China and India have said no more, and that's left Australia reeling. Dangerous stockpiles of glass and paper have been building up in warehouses, with some catching fire. Plus, thousands of tonnes of recycling has gone to landfill. So, how did this system get so broken? And how do we fix it? I'm Laura Murphy-Oates, and this is The Full Story.
I don't think people think about recycling much at all.
Adam Morton is the environment editor at The Guardian.
They think the recycling gets picked up by a truck and taken off to a magical place where it gets turned into new products and they don't have to worry about it much anymore.
And is that the case?
Well, increasingly, it seems not. There have been a number of stories lately about the problems with getting what we think should be recycled actually to a recycling plant and turned into another product. But the most startling statistic was in a recent government report that said only 12% of plastics in Australia are recycled.
12%?
Yeah, it's incredibly low, disastrously low, actually. And I have been writing about these issues for more than a decade, and I was surprised, frankly. Right now, we are seeing a whole bunch of waste that we thought was being properly dealt with that just isn't. And we don't really have any short-term solutions to deal with that.
What is the root cause of this crisis? Where does it all begin, really?
It's a complicated question, but in basic terms, I think we've acted for a long time like this problem was going to sort itself out. We've largely, across the country, handed the recycling over to private companies, and to a significant extent, they've been sending recycling offshore, and we have not properly invested in infrastructure in Australia to actually do the recycling here.
So what are some things that we don't have that we should for a successful recycling industry?
Well, in the most basic terms, we don't have the factories, the infrastructure here to do the recycling, and we haven't set up a culture here where there are businesses or governments that we know will buy recycled material if we create it. So that doesn't really give much incentive to businesses to start investing in new factories to do this recycling that we need.
So what does that mean for plastic?
Well, one of the other big issues at the moment is that it's still cheaper to use new plastic than recycled plastic. So if there aren't some sort of incentives in place or subsidies in place, there's no real reason for people to go to buy recycled plastic. And that clearly is going to need to change.
So it actually makes very little business sense to get into the recycling game in Australia, especially when it comes to plastic.
That's right. And I mean, this is sort of an age-old story for new industries. Usually, if we're trying to create a new industry, governments have to step in and help them in the early days. And that's what they're crying out for at the moment.
What are some other things that make this whole recycling process complicated?
So one of the challenges we create for our recycling industry is because we throw all our recycled goods, recyclable material, into one bin. When they go to processing centres...
First, all the materials are unloaded...
And I'm going to describe this in very untechnical terms...
...and placed onto a conveyor belt...
They basically have this process...
...in preparation for sorting. They then fall onto an inclined spring and are sorted by gravity and shape...
to try and separate glass.
The heavier glass falls into a pit.
Paper and cardboard.
The paper products travel up the screen.
And plastics of different weights.
And are sorted by gravity and shape.
It's the sort of process that is surprisingly accurate in what it can do, but is really affected when...
Plastic bags are the number one problem at AMER.
If you put a lot of things in a plastic bag, clearly it's not going to work.
While they are recyclable, AMER can't process them. Take plastic bags to a grocery store and they will take care of recycling those.
If you've got a box of recyclable cardboard and within that you have plastic bottles, it's not going to work. It needs a challenging process to pull them all out individually.
Workers sort out trash and misdirected recyclables by hand.
And from there, they are separated, usually crunched into big bales, a bit like hay bales, but they're all made of plastic or paper.
Manufacturers by these bales.
In the case of plastics, they would be melted down.
And create new products of that recycled material.
Okay, so it goes through this process and it gets sorted into bales, but then we don't really have the infrastructure to deal with it here in Australia. What do we do with our recycling?
Well, a significant amount of it is stockpiled here in Australia and a significant amount of it is sent overseas, overwhelmingly to Asian countries. We send 4.5 million tonnes of waste to Asia every year.
And has that worked for us?
Well, it was a period where we seemed to be living partly in denial, but it was working to an extent. We were sending a lot of recycling to China, but then it all changed in early 2018. A documentary was aired called Plastic China, and it showed a pretty squalid life of people who were being forced to spend their days in these huge mountains of filthy rubbish and being paid very little to pick through it. And it portrayed it as China being treated as the dumping ground for this Western problem. And it sparked pretty widespread outrage and is now seen as the reason that the government chose to act.
China has banned the import of millions of tons of plastic waste, such as the packaging that we throw into our household recycling bins.
So China announced a new policy.
Known as the China Sword.
The National Sword Policy.
National Sword.
A decision that has changed the way countries around the world have to handle their waste.
The shortened version of the story is that the Chinese government has
basically introduced contamination levels that could not be met by any of the recycling that was coming in. Most of Australia's recycling is pretty contaminated, and so for Australia, it was effectively a ban on recycling material getting into China anymore.
Without China, what's happening to the world's waste?
So basically, this documentary aired, China changed its policy and the way that the world recycling, well, the way that the world recycles had to change dramatically.
Yeah, that's right. And so Australia was one of a number of developed countries that was looking for a new solution. About half of the world's recyclable waste for the past 25 years had been going to China. So it was a big overnight correction.
What kind of impact did this have around the world?
Oh, it was huge. You saw the value of recyclable material crash. And depending on the location, we have seen a lot more of that sort of material go to landfill. And countries have been scrambling for other markets to sell it to and have particularly looked to Southeast Asian countries, Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines. And that's led to its own flow-on problems.
Okay, so the National Sword Policy happens and countries are rejecting our waste. What does that actually mean for us?
A few weeks ago, we saw, perhaps most demonstrably, in Indonesia, a very big song and dance by local officials.
Customs inspectors found plastic packaging, batteries, even used baby nappies stuffed between piles of waste paper.
Around 8 containers of waste that they said were contaminated.
And they want to check nearly 60 other containers from the US and Germany.
And said it would be returned to Brisbane where it came from.
Next, Australia's recycling problems go from bad to worse. So these countries are sending back our recycling. What kind of impacts has that had here in Australia?
Well, the impact's been really substantial. I mean, there's been one example that has really stood out in recent months.
Well, guys, here it is, the SKM Recycling Facility.
That's the case of SKM Recycling in Victoria, which is a company that's been around for decades.
That's a big pile of recyclable stuff.
I'm sure you're just bursting with questions.
It took 50% of the curbside recycling waste in the state. It had rented out these vast warehouses across
out of suburban Melbourne and were stockpiling far more recyclable material than anyone appreciated. You know, these places the size of football fields, and they were just sitting there with waste that had been sitting there for a very long time. And
we're stuck with about 700 odd containers full of this product that we don't know what's going on and where it's going.
Some of these were unsafe, they caught fire.
A number of firefighters have gone into this factory with breathing apparatus trying to fight this fire from inside. What we know from firefighters is it
in
broke
the worst
out
case,
about 3:30
in suburban Coolaroo, a whole bunch of homes, more than 100 houses had to be evacuated because of pollution from a fire.
It then quickly spread to the rest of the building. There were about 100 workers inside at the time.
In the end, it just stopped functioning as a company. They didn't have any money. They couldn't pay their debts.
Yes, well, Eskom had been given a couple of weeks to try and find some more money to pay the creditors.
So some of its debtors took it to court, and the court put it into administration.
More than $5.5 million that they're owed. It was completely unsuccessful. So today the insolvency application was passed.
And so those councils ended up having to dump their recyclable waste into landfill.
So it sounds like this SKM situation has brought this issue to a bit of a national audience, to the public's attention. Is there a big response to this, to the fact we have a problem?
Well, the response has been huge from the top down. The Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, was taking notice.
There's an implied promise that when you take that plastic bottle and you put it in that little plastic bin, that it's not going to end up in the ocean somewhere or in a river somewhere or in a landfill somewhere.
Ahead of a meeting of premiers in August, the Council of Australian Governments, he gave a speech announcing this as the environmental issue that of his prime ministership that he planned to deal with.
People think it's going to be recycled, but only about 12% of it is.
He announced his intention was to ban the export of recyclable waste, of plastic, glass, paper, cardboard, to get a deal with the premiers to do that.
What we agreed to do today was to request our environment ministers. We're laying it out very clearly.
And talked about the concern that he felt about all this plastic waste that ends up in oceans.
There will be no export of plastics and paper and glass to other countries where it runs the risk of ending up floating around in our oceans, whether off the Great Barrier Reef or anywhere else.
It was a really significant deal, and for campaigners who have wanted to see improvement in recycling for a long time, they thought it was a really significant move. Certainly, he was taking more interest in this issue than any prime minister before. It's not usually the sort of issue that ends up at prime ministerial level.
Mr. President, Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen.
What did he do next?
Well, he didn't just talk about it in Australia.
Much has changed since the United Nations was established many years ago.
He then went off to the US for the United Nations General Assembly.
Australia was there in the beginning, and we are here today.
And in his speech there, admittedly, while Australia was under significant fire for not doing enough on climate change, he made a fairly strong case from his perspective that
protecting our oceans is also one of the world's most pressing environmental challenges.
Plastic going into the ocean was a huge deal, and that Australia would be a leader in tackling it.
To protect our oceans, Australia is committed to leading urgent action to combat plastic pollution, is choking our oceans, to tackle over-exploitation of our fisheries.
And for the first time, announced a time frame from which he said this ban would be in place. He said it would start in 2020.
Recently, I announced that Australia will ban exports of waste plastic, paper, glass and tyres, and we anticipate that starting in 2020.
But the actual plan was pushed down to environment ministers, and they were asked to come up with a timetable about how this could be done at their meeting in early November.
So he announces a ban that's going to kick in 2020. That sounds like a really big announcement. Does he follow through with that?
After Morrison's speech at the UN in September, we didn't hear much more about recycling until just before this meeting in early November, when industry groups working in waste and resource recovery and recycling, started to express a bit of concern about a draft plan that they'd seen, which, while full of good intentions, didn't say much on specific targets that would be delivered in what time frame, and didn't, at this point, offer any new money to help the industry make this massive change that the government's proposing.
So it sounds like a lot is riding on this meeting of the federal and state environment ministers. Meeting comes around. What happens?
Well, the first ministers tasked us as environment ministers across Australia to land the timetable under which we're going to ban the exports of glass, paper, plastics and tyres.
Their job was to come up with a timetable, and
today in Adelaide, we landed that ban. But the work continues, and the important component is what happens with industry.
The main thing that they announced, that if they can live up to it, is significant, is that there will be a phase-in of this export ban over the next few years, starting in July 2020 with all glass waste not being able to be exported, and then following with plastics the following year, and tyres and paper and cardboard over the next 18 months after that.
So there's a time frame put in place for the ban, but is there much in the way of, solid plans, big announcements that come out of this big meeting?
It depends a bit on which way you look at it, whether this is glass half full or glass half empty, to be honest. There's quite a bit of detail about what the ministers say they want to do, but a lot of that is just setting a framework for more work that hasn't been done yet. And most of the heavy lifting is still to come. So they announced that it'd be a new national waste action plan, which includes some headline targets. But at this stage, we don't know how they're going to get to them. They're going to have a further meeting in the new year at which they're going to have to start dealing with some of these issues, including particularly where the money is going to come from to help industry as it adjusts to take this, what would be a significant amount of extra processing here in Australia.
So with this level of detail, you know, what could go wrong in terms of the policy going forward? What are we concerned about?
The worst case scenario, beyond the recycling industry completely collapsing and everything going into landfill, which is highly unlikely, is that governments feel they need to deliver on these timeframes to ban this export of recyclable goods, but we don't have an industry set up here to deal with it. And there's not the support here for industry, so we just see more and more stockpiling. I mean, it's a huge change that the government is asking to happen in a very short amount of time, even with the phased-in timeframe. And for it to happen, industry says they're going to need hundreds of millions of dollars. The ministers are making positive noises of heading down this path, but we don't have concrete targets and we don't have concrete announcements of money. And we have some federal money announced, but we don't know how it's going to be spent.
So that is the glass half empty. What about glass half full? What is best case scenario going forward?
Well, the best case scenario, and it is possible that something like this could happen in what the ministers have announced, this framework, if they are to follow through, is that we're going to see early in 2020 them follow up with serious achievable targets that tell the industry that there will be markets for them if they invest in big new recycling plants, and we see some government money coming in to help seed that, to help it get started, because that will be required, especially given the short timeframes. And I'd say the industry, they're not entirely pessimistic. I mean, they are really welcoming this attention and think it's not before time. And the environment sector the same. But a lot's going to turn on exactly what's decided over the summer months.
Is it often that in these complex environment problems that you're reporting on, that they actually come to a national attention, that people care about it and that there's a conversation happening, you know? How often does that happen for you with these complex, knotty problems?
Who would have thought? Yes, I mean, the end result hopefully will be, and I think there's a real possibility, that we are going to address these problems. One of the things that we've seen over the last little while is that people are more engaged, the public are more engaged with this issue. So if you've got the Prime Minister more engaged and the public more engaged, then surely there has to be some hope of a result.
That's it for today. If you liked this episode, don't forget to subscribe to the show. Just search for Full Story on your app of choice. And we also want to know what you think about it so far. So if you're on an app that has ratings and reviews, give it a go. Thanks to Adam Morton for his time. You can read his reporting on recycling and the environment at theguardian.com. This episode was produced by Ellen Leibeater and Joe Koning, and our executive producers are Miles Martignoni and Gabrielle Jackson. Okay, catch you Wednesday.